Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Between Two Pods. This time, I'm joined by the gaming duo. Guys, how are we tonight?
Doing well, man. How you doing?
Excellent. Would you like to introduce yourselves and tell everybody about your show and where all they can find you?
Rob, take it away.
Yeah, we are the gaming duo, Rob and Kel. We are two best friends that met in a McDonald's ball pit from the Bronx. And we've always talked about games. And here we are, somewhat 23 years later, still talking about games. We have hot takes. We have discussions all about the gaming industry. You can find us on Fridays on your favorite streaming platform. Did I capture it, Kel? Pretty good.
Yeah, man, that was pretty good. The McDonald's ball pit part was classic there, of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Was that actually true, or are you messing with me right now?
No.
Oh, no, that's 100% true.
Actually true?
Yep, that's how I met Rob. He was in the McDonald's ball pit, and I think, you were 8, maybe? I was 7?
7 or 8, yeah.
And, yeah, we hung out. We were like, oh, hey, this guy looks cool. And I remember specifically I had the McDonald's, like, the balls, right? I had them as, like on my chest, like, breast. And instantly he was like, yeah, this guy.
That's the guy. Yep, mm-hmm. He's cool. Mm-hmm.
Ever since.
That's him.
That's it.
What's up?
So when is the ball pit episode going to be? That would be the question.
I don't even know if McDonald's have ball pits anymore.
No, just get like a little kiddie pool, fill it with balls. Order a bunch of them from like Temu or AliExpress or something.
You're on to something here, man.
That's an episode in the making right there. There we go.
Well, we're here to also learn a bit. This kind of softballs me into the first question. How did the podcast start? Are y'all one of the rare people who it's like, oh, we were here before COVID, or are y'all a during COVID podcast?
I think we're during COVID, right?
We were kind of during COVID, yeah. I think so. It kind of started naturally. It's something that we've always wanted to do, and it sounds like cliche, right? But like, we've always talked about video games. We've always discussed news just outside of the podcast, and we would always call each other and be like, hey, man, did you listen to this thing? Like, did you see what's happening with, you know, Rockstar? Did you see whatever? And so we would do that just kind of naturally. And then one day we were like, hey, you know what? Like, why aren't we just making content out of this? Like, why not share our thoughts with other people, right? Because we not only do we love video games, but we also love to talk about video games with other people. And so why not just do that? And so we kind of just started little by little, you know, started getting the gear that we needed. And here we are, you know, talking about video games weekly and just having a great time.
Right. Very, very cool. So let's get back to the ball pit days a bit, right? let's get back to the ball pit days. Now, obviously, that's the first thing y'all ever played with, and that's how I'm going to write that down canonically for your history from now on.
Yep, playing balls always.
What was your first video game? What comes to mind?
Good question. The first video game that we just played?
Like, ever played? Ever?
Yeah, that you played. Now, a lot of people, if you're like me, I'll give you some time to think. You know, I would probably think like maybe Pac-Man and then some arcade in a movie theater when I was too young to really understand what I was doing. But see, I see Rob over there shaking his head, you know, tilting his head a bit because it doesn't really count, right? What would be your actual game, though?
The earliest game I can recall me owning, and it was my game, and I was like, I sat down and played with it, was Banjo-Kazooie for the N64.
Okay.
That was my first, I think, most like memory I can like I remember playing Mario Brothers, like all the, you know, NES games and stuff like that, but vividly I can remember Banjo-Kazooie.
That's an excellent game.
Yeah. I remember just playing the Super Nintendo for the most part, and I remember, you know, your typical, you know, Super Mario Bros. There's a game that I don't remember, and I remember they remade it not too long ago, like they remastered it.
The Lion King? Battletoads?
No. I can't think of it right now at the top of my head. But yeah, Super Nintendo just kind of speaks to me right now. And that's kind of like where I started really enjoying video games and being like, okay, like this is something that I really like love. Like I enjoy doing this every single night. And so damn it, I wish I really knew the name right now, but it's like it's Castle something. I don't remember.
Castlevania? Oh, is it Super Ghouls and Goblins or something like
yes,
that?
Yes, that's the game. That's the game, yes. Yeah. I remember that vividly because that game is incredibly hard. And even if you try to play that game right now,
you lose.
You'll just lose. Yeah, that game stuck to me, and I loved playing that game, man. Like, I would put hours into that just trying to get to the next level and just hating myself for messing up and then getting hurt, and then my, you know, you see like your clothes coming off and you're just like, ah. So yeah, that's definitely one of my first games that I played.
Very, very cool. We were kind of talking about this a bit beforehand, you know, off recording, but is there any indie podcast that y'all really like that you'd like to give a quick shout out to? Because we were talking about Friday Night Gamescast and how long they talked.
They are notorious for just handing out this deep content. Like, they love to go specific in detail with specific games, right? Like, we were on their Final Fantasy 16 episode, right? Their in review, and it went for about 3 hours or so,
3.5 hours or so, something.
But
like
the content was just
was there
top notch, you know what I mean? Like, and that's why I love those guys. But we spoke about them highly. The Elder Trolls podcast too, I think, are one of our favorites, just because, not only because they're just good friends of ours, but they're just fun to listen to, man.
Like, little peek for y'all because it's not out yet, but I just did one with them the other night.
Nice. Yep. Awesome. So you know.
Yeah, they're great guys. Except for their opinion of Portal, which I'm not going to let them live that
down. I don't know what their opinion is.
They don't like it.
I want to know.
They don't like it.
They're hot and cold with some stuff, you know.
we didn't say
they were perfect. You know,
we didn't say they're like our best friends.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
They have their own issues. But let's not talk about that. No, I'm just
kidding. So, yeah.
What about you? Do you have to say is it Elder Trolls, Rob, or?
I would say those two as well: Friday Night Gamecast and Elder Trolls. I mean, there's a couple other ones there. Like, I know you did one with Gaming Together, podcast. Shout out to Nave and Phil. But yeah, those have kind of been the ones that we've had on rotation and repeat. This isn't necessarily a gaming podcast per se, but Chazzy from the Side Project podcast, special shout out to him. He does a lot of cosplay stuff like that, dabbles in games here and there. But that's a big one as well. So
yes, for sure.
Very, very cool. I kind of like the fact that y'all are two, you know, co-hosts. So you, to me, either, you know, you both have to agree, you both disagree, or maybe sometimes there's a 50-50 split. Has there been a game or maybe like a series that's just divided the two of you? Like, y'all just do not see eye to eye on it, or is everything mostly agreed upon?
There's been several games, right, Rob? Like,
yeah. For example, we actually just had this in our Discord server discussion, and I am a diehard Final Fantasy fan, specifically 7, right? And I'm really excited about Final Fantasy Remake. Rebirth, right? The second round, the trilogy there. And Kelvin's just not as excited. He's just like, I don't get it. Like, I just don't get it. I'm like, how do you not get it? How do you not get it? And
to be fair, I'm excited. Like, I'm going to be there day one, right? When that game comes out, I'm there, you know? I'm just not counting down the days.
You're not foaming at the mouth like me, just salivating at the thought of
Onyx. I'm just like, oh, that's right, it's coming out tomorrow. Yeah, I'll buy it. Like, that's kind of like where I'm at. And I think it's just simply I never played the OG titles, and so I just don't have that attachment.
You don't get characters. It. You don't get it. You know,
like, Cloud's cool. Like, obviously everyone loves Cloud. He's cool. But like, besides that, like, Tifa, like, she's a homie. Like, everybody else, I'm just like, all right, cool. Like, everyone's just, you know, like, I get it. But I just don't have that, like, attachment to these characters. Mm. You know what I mean?
So. Right. That's that. Look, I'm with you, to be honest. Like, I've always said no JRPG is good unless it starts with that word Persona at the front of it.
See, we can agree on that. We agree on that. Persona is goated. We love Persona. So.
Yeah. Oh yeah, my Persona. God, yes. Yeah, it's so good. So good. So
dude,
I really, Persona are y'all excited 3 for? Yeah, y'all excited
Come
for?
Come on,
it?
Man.
I mean, well, the big reason I ask, I just see those little PlayStation logos back there, and you know, isn't it a day one on Game Pass?
Yeah. Reloaded is day one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is something that I keep going back and forth with right now. Do I buy it or do I just download it on Game Pass? Like, you know what I mean? Do I want to play it on my PlayStation or do I just want to play on my PC or on my Ally or, you know, wherever I choose to play?
Right.
So.
Right. And, you know, that's one of the things. Like, I have a Series S, and I just call it the Game Pass machine. I don't buy games. I just play Game Pass games on it.
That's what it is, honestly.
It's so perfect for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so are you playing it on Game Pass? Or?
Yes, Game Pass. I actually just sold my PS5, to be honest.
Wow, okay.
Was it collecting dust?
A very thick layer of dust.
Yeah, and, yeah.
When I got the PlayStation, Rewind thing or whatever, it was like, you have played 2 games. And I'm like, yeah, I don't need you.
I'm not that far off. I played, what, 4? It's just time constraining, too. But, yeah. I was very disappointed with my PlayStation wrap-up.
Whatever it's called, yeah.
Well, first of all, one of them was Five Nights at Freddy's Security Breach, because we reviewed it. And the other one was Red Dead Redemption 2. That's a PS4 game.
Yep.
Okay, that's fair.
I've never actually have played Red Dead Redemption 2, so that is a cardinal sin. I know that, so I've never. No, God. I need to get.
So what do you mean? Just download it. It's in my.
I know, but it's not about downloading it. It's about the time, and commitment to it. And I know it's amazing. I know it's great. I know I'm gonna love it when I start playing it. But
you know, I say that and I didn't finish it. I want to. I
you finished it?
So close to finishing it. Oh, I feel like, because I'm towards the end. I know that. I loved Red Dead Redemption 1. Like, I literally platinumed it. I got all the trophies. Like, I was really invested in that game. Going into part 2, I was like, yeah, this is gonna be it. And something, I don't know if it was time. I don't know. Just the gameplay, where it's kind of like very slow and methodical. Mm-hmm. It's very like you have to do everything, you know, kind of beat by beat. That kind of pushed me away a little bit, but I definitely want to dive in there again, man. Like, I want to get back into that world, because I think that's what really gets me. That world is so inviting. Like, I love being in there.
You could be a cowboy. Yay. Yeah.
I think I just live too much in the South, and then, like, cowboys just don't impress me, you know what I mean? Like, I think of horses as, like, a massive nuisance, you know?
Yep. Hey, man. I hear that.
That's fair. You just gave me a blast in the past, because I used to live in the Midwest. I went to college there.
Okay.
And I just saw you had a Shinerbach.
I do. I was
showing a what?
Shinerbach?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes.
I was showing Kel earlier. They can't see this because it's on camera. But I bought this, and it's a bottle opener, but it's also like a cap gun.
So that's so cool.
Hang on. So
I didn't even see it.
That's not going to get abused whatsoever.
No. Oh, no. I am not. I need that. I need it. I need it.
You can get a 4-pack of them on Amazon for $12.
Done.
Dude, if we were together, like if we live close together.
It'd be all day. It'd be all
day.
Yeah.
Picture that in the ball pit.
Yep. Yeah. Yep, just sniping you. Yep. Diving underwater. Whatever.
See, this episode is just making itself. That's all it is. I just put the gear in motion.
You're just giving us the content, man. We're just over here like, come on, man.
Yep.
So we talked about a couple of different things. We've mentioned some games. But let's say, what is your favorite game? Now, not to lead the witness, but it's always the first thing that, like, to me, popped in your head when somebody asked that. And I know it's like trying to pick your favorite child, but...
Yes. Rob, you want to go first?
It's really hard, obviously, like you said. I don't want to say I have a favorite game, but one game that, like, I can play over and over again, it kind of goes between two games. Mm-hmm. I want to say it's Devil May Cry 3. Okay. But also Zelda Ocarina of Time.
Okay.
Kind of, like, paved the way for me with, like, games, I guess, in a sense, because I was so young when I picked it up, and then that was, like, oh, this is what a really good game really looks like. Like, this is the standard. Okay, got it. And I always play that game at least once a year.
Right.
So
really?
I do, yeah. I play Ocarina. It's on the Nintendo...
Switch Online.
It's on there. So I could just, like, pick it up and just play on there. But, yeah, just something about that game just, like, really molded me as a gamer. And I want to give it to Devil May Cry, because I'm a huge Devil May Cry fan. I love Devil May Cry. But I think I really, truly have to give it to Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, your eyes like glitter when you talk about like anything Zelda related. I don't see that same gleam when you talk about DMC. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, it's
gonna say it. I see the Zelda box in the background, but nothing for Devil May Cry.
No, oh, I have something for Devil May Cry. I do. I
would love for you to show him, honestly, because it's a. It's
all right, you keep talking, Kelvin, and I'll bring it out. But yes, I would say Ocarina of Time is definitely. Hold on. I'll just show you guys.
Okay, I have. It's a everyday thing. It changes like almost every day, honestly.
Right.
If it's not Persona, right? If it's not Persona 4. It's probably like Metal Gear Solid 3, right? Okay. And then if it's not Metal Gear Solid 3 or Persona 4, then it's probably Kingdom Hearts. Because it's like, those are like the three, for me, those are like the three games that I'm just like, they, not only have they changed my life as far as like what I enjoy for video games, it's just such a fantastic time playing those games, you know? And Metal Gear Solid, I think, takes it for the most part because... It's a game that's been with me throughout X amount of years, and it's just changed. I don't know. Like for me, it's like changed me as a person in some weird way because the way I grew up with playing that game and learning, you know, the mechanics and playing with Snake and just like really understanding that story, it just like really, it just stayed with me. That's all. So I would probably give it to Metal Gear Solid 3.
It's 100% Metal Gear for you. Like metal. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say, Rob's came back with a sword.
Oh yeah, I have the Rebellion sword from.
No big deal. No big deal.
No big deal. No big deal.
Got it. Actually, I got it with
Why
Kelvin.
Aren't you displaying that?
It's heavy. It's kind of heavy. I gotta sure it doesn't like rip off the wall.
I'd mount it to the back of the door.
I guess I'll
just wear it. Every day,
just like that. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yep. I'll find a home for it. I want to do like a little like weapon rack and stuff like that. But
okay,
he just kind of hangs on the corner right now in case anyone tries to, you know, come to the house.
You know, my wife told me. Actually, it's funny. We were talking about it a few days ago. She's like, we don't have anything to protect ourselves with. Like, if somebody were to come in. Like, what do we do?
You probably should not say this on the thing because now everyone knows.
Now everyone knows, right? That's fair enough, right? And I'm like, and I thought about you. I'm like, well, Rob has the freaking Thor's hammer in the back, right?
That's like a paperweight. That's not
I know,
really.
I
yeah,
know.
That's
but then
not.
You have, and then I said, well, Rob has a freaking sword, so maybe I can get a sword. Like, I don't know. But like, you legit have a sword. Like, it's pretty dope. So.
Yeah, but it's not a sharp sword. I'm not gonna do anything. It's just heavy. So like, I don't even know if it's.
I mean, if you give him a good weapon with it, you know, just
if you're a burglar and you see that sword, you're gonna be intimidated for sure. Look at it. Yeah, it has a skull with like thorns coming out of the top.
Yeah.
If they have a gun, then the game, you know,
you could just block.
You just slice the bullet.
I just block it, just like Dante. Yeah.
Glad we all went to the same direction with that. Like, just block it. You know, don't worry about it.
Fine.
Dark Souls has prepared you for parrying, right?
Yes.
Exactly. 100%.
Liza P more recently, so like the game is crazy with the pairing.
So, you know, in y'all's time of doing podcasts, what do you think the, like, hardest thing about podcasting is to you? I always say it's time zones is, like, the worst.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, given, well, my other two co-hosts are British, so there's always, like, a six-hour difference. Yep, and then there's twice a year, there's a two-week window where America changes time, and they do not.
Yep. Right.
And that is, like, the worst.
Yeah. What do you think, Rob?
Just in general, as far as just what's, like, everyday life of a podcaster, or just, like...
In podcasting in general, what would you say is the hardest thing you have to do?
I would say, like... You have to be consistent, right? The consistency of
took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah,
see, they gave me do. but like you, if you miss a day or a week or two, you're not gonna continue it. Like 100%. As soon as you stop, like it's gonna be really hard to get back on. So you just have to constantly. It's just like anything you ever do in life, you have to just constantly just hammer in and just keep going, right? And I think that's the hardest part. And sometimes your legit stage like I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it, but push on and keep doing it. That's probably the hard part. Right, Hill?
I'll piggyback on that. Consistency for sure. And I think also if you want to have a some type of channel, like online, on social media, right? That is, trying to be consistent on social media is such a hard thing to do. It's such a hard task, especially when you're navigating through several different socials, right? When you have Instagram, Facebook for some reason, you know, Twitter, YouTube, like trying to just juggle all those social media accounts, it's tough, right? And you have to try to be present every single time. You know, if you, they say you gotta be on almost every day, post something every day, something like that, to like really engage the audience. That's tough. That's not easy to do, especially if you have a normal life like we all do, right? We have a job and you have things to do. Trying to be on social media on top of trying to, you know, take care of your family and do all this stuff, it's not no easy task. So no. I would say being consistent, like you said, but also trying to have a presence in social media is one of the hardest things.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely as I think specifically too, as like a gaming, in gaming, right? Gaming is very hard to
so saturated.
Yeah, especially as a podcast, like if you're trying to like give information versus someone doing like some crazy play in a game or something like that. But I think there is a market for it, right? There is, you know, channels, but I, like for us, I think it's pretty hard.
And right. You have to like, you almost have to do something entirely different, right? Think of all the podcasters that you've interviewed or that you do yourself, right?
Right.
Everyone kind of does the same thing, like we've talked about Rob several times, right? So how do you distinguish yourself from everybody else? How do you change what you do compared to what everybody else is doing, right? What the Elder Trolls is doing, what Friday Night is doing, what we're doing, what is different between us, right? And how do you stand out? I think that's also a key thing too.
I think the only reason we slightly stand out is like the variety we have. We're not just, you know, we have the game reviews, you know, bi-weekly, and then in what would be the off week, this goes in. Yep. Where you have like the interview show. And then every Wednesday, Tim and Joey, they're brothers. So every Wednesday they just have a show where they shoot the shit for an hour.
I mean, I guess when I was going through your catalog, it's just content. So definitely something.
Yeah, that's what helps. It fills it out. And, you know, I was talking to the guys earlier today. It makes me really happy in our Discord. Like on Wednesday morning, their show where they just shoot the shit comes out and you'll just see people already talking about it. And you're like, well, that's, you know, it's great. And they do like one of those. And it's like big with other podcasts now. We just do it too. But it's where they tell jokes and they're not allowed to laugh.
Oh,
but whatever joke. Yeah, but whatever joke makes one of them laugh, that's the joke of the week.
Okay. Hey, man. See, again, doing something different that stands out, that's key. I feel like that's something that everyone can get right, you know?
I don't know what's wrong with their heads, because they had a bit for a while, and they last for like 10 episodes. They were like, what's Tom Hanks doing this week? And they would just make something up that Tom Hanks was doing. They had one, it was who's Will Smith slapping this week? And that lasted for like, you know, 10 episodes.
Yep, that's awesome. I love that.
I don't know what corner of their brain that comes from, but I really appreciate it. Because I don't even know what they talk about in it. They do that. Yeah, that's their own thing. Like, this is mine.
Yeah, I think it's very heartwarming when, like for us, Rob, we see our Discord popping off sometimes. You know? And love it just feels good when you have people really conversating and just having these intricate discussions and having like these, you know, and no one in our Discord channel is like disrespectful. They're all friends. They all know each other. And even if someone new comes in, they treat them like they're just part of the family, like part of the community. So
that's,
I love that.
That's what you want, you know, and that's what makes podcasting so rewarding, especially content creation.
Right. I agree 100%.
All right, let's get us back to some questions.
Let's do it.
Who is your dream guest to have on? Now, they don't have to be gaming related. This is just,
period.
Who would be the dream guest?
Take it, Kelf.
Ah, that's a tough one, dude. There's so many people that I would love to have on our channel and our podcast. I think as we grow and as we keep doing this, right, I think I would love to have, at least for me, my goal, and this can be totally different than what Rob wants, but I would love to have developers on our channel, right, and our podcast, to like really get into the nitty-gritties of like what it's like to be a developer, right?
Right.
I think just learning the ins and outs and what it takes to like develop a game is so interesting and so fascinating sometimes. We don't know, right? We have no clue about what like the assets and all the blood, sweat, and tears, right, goes into making a video game. And I would just love to be a fly on the wall and just know what that is, you know?
Right.
And then also I would also like to pick brains with like VA, like voice actors, you know, just kind of like see what their side is. So to answer your question, to have a specific person, at least for me right now, like today, I would love to have like Ben Starr on our,
okay,
because we love Final Fantasy 16, right? That's like right. One of our top games for this year, and just seeing Ben Starr rise up from this game because of Clyde, just really, and just based off of what I've seen from him, he seems like a really cool guy. He loves video games. You can tell he's a very like OG gamer, and so I think we would have a great discussions, you know.
Yeah, that seems like an excellent choice. Rob, who do you got?
In that same vein, like with voice acting, I think for me, I think kind of like a bucket list thing would be David Hayter. I know, like, it's like Metal Gear Solid 3 is Kelvin's favorite game, but I also love Metal Gear. And he kind of like shaped like my childhood in a sense with, you know, the portrayal of Snake. And I would love to be able to just like kind of, actually, funny story, I did a cameo for Kelvin's birthday 1 year of David Hayter saying happy birthday to, and happy, okay, Father's Day for Kelvin. But like I said, I think to have him on a podcast and just kind of like pick his brain and just have him do Snake voices the entire time would be great. That
do
would kind of be,
he hates doing that all the time.
No,
like,
I don't.
If you ask him, he's gonna do it. But like, you're like, oh, here we go again. Like, this is.
I don't think so. I think that's like something that's a character that they helped create, and
yeah,
I don't think they'd be sick. I hope I would think it would not be sick of it. I think they would love. They love their job, right? So that's what I think. I think of the woman that voiced Ash back in the day. I forget her name. It was like Comic Con. Yeah, so Veronica cool. something. But like, I remember I saw her at a con, and she's like still doing it, and she just sounds, and I'm just like, you could just go up to her, you could just tell she loves doing the voice. So,
yeah. So in y'all's whole podcast, and again, this is goes back to that, hey, if it's gonna be the first thing to pop into your head, right? Kind of thought. What is like the best moment you can think of? Do you have something that you think back and it's like, man, we did really good right here, or like that was really funny?
There are several things that we've done that were like, yeah, this is a clip. This is cool. This was funny. But as far as the best thing that we've done, maybe content-wise or just having someone on the show, it's hard to tell, man. I think we've done really cool things. We've had great discussions with amazing people.
Right.
I can't necessarily pick one great thing, but I think the highlight sometimes for me, we had a fun time watching the Game Awards last year, not this year, last year's Game Awards. Right. And it was just a fun time because we recorded live and we had, you know, the community just kind of like watch us and just kind of stick it with us for the entire show. And it was just a fun time. Like everyone just was laughing. Chiming in, people were laughing, we were laughing. It was just like we were watching with the boys and
right.
gals, you know, and just hanging out and just having a good time. So that always comes to mind when I think about what we've done. I don't know if you have anything, any other pieces, Rob, there.
I think the first thing that came to mind when you were asking that question was our 100th episode.
Yeah.
We did a big 100 episode celebration where we took a couple people from past guests that we had, and we was like, hey, we're inviting you over to this live stream, and we want to do just celebrate the gaming duo. And we had some competitions, we had some gaming Jeopardy, like just a bunch of different things, and it was a blast. Like there were some prizes being won and stuff like that, so we went all out, and it was great. It was 100%, and it wasn't like script or anything like that. It was just kind of like us just hanging around the room just having fun, but it's great.
Yeah, man. And I think we, like, some of the guests that we've had, like, just to name a few, like, ones that we never really, like, it's weird, right? Like, so one of my favorite guests that we've had, obviously not bringing down anybody else, but Tony, right, KBG from, he's a YouTuber, if you guys don't know, he's a content creator. it's funny because I used to watch him before the podcast, right? I would watch his content. I would watch his Kingdom Hearts reactions, right? And it was just fascinating to like him reaching out to us and saying, right, hey, like, I would love to be on your podcast or something, right? I was like speechless in a way. I was like, no way, dude. And now, you know, we've done numerous episodes with him, right?
And right,
for me to consider him like one of our good friends, it just blows my mind. Like, someone that you would watch on YouTube, have no idea who this person is, and now we just hang out sometimes on Discord, chat, play games. It's just weird. It's just like crazy to think sometimes,
right? And it's not even stuff like when we talk, it's not just gaming related stuff, it's about life stuff too, right? It's not just that. And it's just a great time. I think he like told us like at one point, you know, he's just like, it's great to have just like real conversations with people. And that's what we try to do. We just try to like be as real as we possibly can and just open for him. And our mantra is friendships built through gaming. That's the gaming duo, because that's how our friendship was built through, right? Was right, a little bit of gaming. So we try to foster that community, try to foster that growth, and we want to be welcome in that community. So
absolutely. Let's say though, the gaming duo wasn't the gaming duo. So if your podcast was going to be something about, you know, like anything else, any other topic, what would it be?
Well, prior to the gaming duo, we were called Project Tep Gaming. That was the first iteration of it. And we actually did tech as well. We did like anything about phones, headphones, you name it, right? And that became a point where we're just kind of like dipping our toes in too many things, you know, which is too much. I think what was the last straw was I tried to live stream an Apple like event. Like, you know how they do like the Apple, and it was just, it was brutal, man. It was just, I was like, nope, not doing this anymore.
Yep.
So we kind of nixed it because it wasn't really, you know, who we are. Like, you don't want to say you're like a tech level thing and you have 32 gigs of RAM and 2000 hard drive. Yeah. You know, like, no.
Right. I mean, there's an audience for that, right?
Right. But
I just don't think we were the right people to do
exactly
it.
So you would go back to being a tech podcast if you weren't doing gaming. What's the alternative, you know? What would you like to do?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't think we've ever thought about what else we would do besides gaming, right? Because the whole point of the podcast or the whole point of us starting this was
right
about video games, right? So if we had anything else to talk about, I don't know. I feel like if we were to do something different, it would probably be something more life lessons or like something just us chatting, doing what we do right now and just having discussions, but just something entirely different, like giving more advice about something.
Yeah, like maybe something about like advice, like what would I say to myself like in your 20s or something like that, or like I don't know what you would call that, but like maybe like some kind of like
reflections, maybe
something like that, like a reflection of that. That's what I would think, but I feel like there's something there, right, Kelp? I feel like there's something else we would be doing.
Yeah,
but
I'm sure we could think of something, you know what I mean? I think we have a lifelong friendship at this point, and so we've been through it all, I feel like, right? We've talked through it all, and so we've had discussions, deep discussions, you know, just casual discussions. I'm sure we can find something that we both are passionate about and just make content out of it. Because I think that's what we want to do at the end of the day, is like just find reasons to do something together, hang out or something, talk about something. Right. You know what I mean?
So, exactly.
Right. Now, guys, I hate to tell you, I've only got 4 questions left for you.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right. So let's stretch these out. Let's stretch.
So what I was going to say is, do you want to go with the long-winded question, or do you want to go small and work our way up?
What do you feel?
I like small and work
small,
our way
small
up.
Small and work our way
Pequeño.
Up.
Okay.
Okay. Yes. Let's do that. So currently, what is like, what's your favorite boss music?
Boss music?
Yeah, what's your favorite boss music if you have to think of one?
Oh, come on, that's easy. That's such an easy one.
I told you, we'll start small, we're gonna work our way up.
What's the first thing that comes to mind, Kelf? Come on.
For me, it's Kingdom Hearts, right?
No, so Sephiroth all day. All day.
For you, for sure.
One Wing Angel, let's go.
Yeah, for sure. I wouldn't say... I don't know. I wouldn't say it's a boss like song, but anything Kingdom Hearts, honestly, I love. So the intro to Kingdom Hearts, the Dearly Beloved, is probably one of my favorite just casual songs to listen to, right?
But what, like, boss put, fight you're like hearing, you're,
yeah,
not,
I know it, that's something that like really gets you pumping, right? I wasn't prepared for this question, man.
That's the fun, man.
Yeah, that's the fun about this, huh?
Okay, when you're fighting, spoilers for Metal Gear Solid 3, when you're fighting the boss in Metal Gear Solid 3, isn't Snake Eater playing in the background?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it is. I would say that's probably it. That's like the best.
See, but I don't consider Snake Eater a boss fight song. It is, like, you're right, you're correct. But when I think of Snake Eater, I think of the ladder scene. And so that to me is like pure like Snake Eater there. But yeah, I think Snake Eater is one of my favorite songs as well. And it's part of the boss fight, so let's go with that, because that is such a top tier song. It's not like ridiculous like what Rob's saying over here with Sephiroth and the One Winged Angel soundtrack, but it's such an iconic song. It's such an iconic piece that you can't go wrong with that.
Right.
What's your Slade after? Yeah.
You know, I wanted to ask you like prior to this, but who would you want as a guest here if you were to like bring in
two
guest,
questions?
But we kind of went ahead.
I was about to say, hang on to your questions. We'll get to those after a while.
Okay.
All right. Cool. I like that. Real quick, if I did have to pick my favorite boss music, though, it's Dancer of the Boreal Valley from Dark Souls 3.
Oh, yes. I haven't played the game in a while, so I have to...
It's been a minute.
I would call those nearly a rhythm game.
I can see that.
I can't remember who it is in Dark Souls 3, but so I am a musician. But it's the music is in 5/4 time.
Okay.
And once I noticed that, I was like, yep, easy peasy, I got that.
So
all the moves were synced up, right? I was like, ah.
So when playing Dark Souls, did you find it you had an easy time kind of progressing through the game? Because it's probably weird to say, because you're a musician, you kind of...
At times...
You understood the beats, you know what I mean?
Yeah, at times I did. Sometimes I'm just very incompetent when playing games, and, you know...
That's fair. Yep, I get that. Totally get that.
I'm very incompetent, so... What is a game that not enough people talk about or even know that it exists? You're, like, for you, what is your little hidden gem of a game?
My little hidden gem.
I used to think of
like cult classics is what I'm trying to think of, but
I remember Legaia was one of those odd games that I'm sure it does not like it's such a bad game if you play it now, maybe not, I don't know, but back in the day, Rob and I, we would go to, you know, GameSpot and just pick out games that we thought looked cool, right? Legaia, for me, stood out. And it's like this RPG. I don't remember who made this game. And it was such a gem playing that game back in the day. Because, like,
right.
I don't think anyone knew about this game.
Yeah.
Like, this was just one of those hidden gems that you're just like, oh, I'm just going to, like, one of those, like, from, like, the bucket there, like, $5 or something like that. And it was fun. It was cool. Like, it had... kind of Persona vibes to it now that I think about it, and it was a good time, man. And I don't know if that game holds up in 2023. Probably not.
No,
but
no,
thinking
not,
about that no. game but thinking about that game, I'm like, that for some reason that game stayed with me for all these years.
Right.
I would say Persona's putting it very loosely, like it is, yes. It did not age well. I'll say that much. But yeah, Legaia 2 is a gem. I agree with that. I remember he would come over to my house and we would stay up till like 3 o'clock in the morning trying to figure out. And this was like before guides were a thing,
right,
for the most part. So like, there's one puzzle we stuck at, we could not figure it out, and then we finally found Game Facts.
That's when like the internet for us were like, it was just
dial
like,
up. We had dial up, and we had to wait for it to load.
Yep. And we're like, oh look, this place called Game Facts. has everything that we need. We can solve this, Rob. And then from there on, like, we use GameFAQs for just about everything that we got stuck on. And then from there, it was just like a loophole of like, oh, we can actually use the internet to like search shit up.
Yep.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, not me. Let me tell you.
Right.
I just thought it was for making podcasts.
Right.
All right. So, what makes the perfect video game? What is the little chef's kiss that gives it a 10 out of 10 in your book?
Obviously, great story. It's got to have a great story. I look at video games as almost like books.
Right.
Right. You needed to... It's the same thing. Like, yeah, everyone reads a book and they finish the book and they're happy. Like, oh, that was a good book. I enjoyed that. And then you remember it for the rest of your life, right?
Right.
That's how a video game needs to kind of start. It's like the story you're trying to tell, but it's a more interactive story. You're literally in the shoes of the person going through this journey.
Right.
So make it immersive, and you can have big games, you can have small games. It doesn't necessarily need to be like this big AAA, spend a bunch of money to make it this thing. You know, we played Sea of Stars this past year, right? And that game was, I loved it. I loved going through that that world, and now I have it in my memory. But story, direction, you really got to have a good direction of where you're going, and don't get too distracted with like, well, we need to follow the game with like this and this. Like, don't give it bloat. I think that's the worst thing, right? It's like when you bloat a game up. And yeah, I would say those are kind of like the main, like, just be true to your course of what you're doing, and a good story. Everyone loves a good story. What do you say, Kel?
Yeah, I think the story is big, but I think overall, if I had to pick one, right, I think gameplay is key, right? You can have a bad story, but like, if the gameplay is there, I think that's what's going to keep you going, right? And I think it depends on whoever it is, right? Some people prefer story and have, you know, lesser gameplay mechanics, but to me, if you have like the foundation of a video game is the gameplay, right? Because I mean, if you think about, you know, way back when games were just starting out and they were in their infancy, that was all we had was gameplay, right? Like, story really wasn't that big for video games up until, like, you know, the PlayStation era, and when they started really creating these 3D models and starting to add voice acting and all that stuff. So gameplay for me is key, because it's that loop that keeps you going. It's that loop that...
Right, the primary gameplay loop is...
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's what we said about...
It, you know,
cool. Have y'all played Neon White?
Yeah, he's played it. I haven't played it.
So that's a game...
Perfect example,
actually. It's like baby's first anime plot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the primary gameplay loop is so engaging and so fun. We played it this year for the podcast. And then I hadn't touched it in a couple months. And then I went back and beat my co-host times. Just because replaying it was just so much fun.
And that's not typically my type of cup of tea. Like, I don't really like that type of thing. Rob knows I do not like being timed in any sense of the word. Like, do not time me in any game. And this is literally like... You know, that's exactly what it is, right?
Yeah.
But for some reason, the gameplay loop just kept me going.
I think it's because it's so short and snappy.
Yes. It's quick. You know, it's fast paced. Each level is a couple seconds long, honestly, like 40 seconds, if that, you know?
Yeah, the boss fights are what overstay their welcome. They're very long.
Agreed. Yeah. But then, like you said, and then the story was there. It was interesting enough for me to keep going. But I think just the anime style, the art direction that they took that game was really cool. But what really made this game for me was the gameplay. Like, I was like, oh man, like, I can't wait to get the next, you know,
right,
whatever, I forget what it was. But like, you get these cool mechanics, and then it just keeps building your gameplay loop much more, you know. And then it gets into these like really difficult levels where you're just like, man, like, how, like, you know, there's a way to get there, and each time you die, you get closer and closer, and it just makes you want to keep going.
Yeah, there was one point I played one level, and I feel like I zoned out during it because it went by so quickly, and I'm like, hello? Need to do that one more time, please. I don't remember this.
Right. And then there's times when you're playing that game and you just start going into this rhythm that you're just going through it, and you're almost like, how am I doing this? But because the game is so satisfying, you're just like, man, like, you're doing these cool things that you wouldn't even expect yourself to do, because you're, I don't know, it's just the way that game is built, and the control layout is great, because it keeps you engaged. You know exactly what to press when you need to press it. It's so well done. I love that game.
Right. All right, guys, you ready for the last question? It's the big hard hitter.
Let's do it.
What is the current thing wrong with AAA games? I've had one person, Chris Copeland. I don't know if y'all know who that is.
No.
I'm trying to think of the name of his podcast, and I feel bad right now. Because he's also another, like, two-person podcast.
Okay.
But he's the only person who looked at me and said, nothing is wrong. He's like, games are better this year than they've been in a long time.
Sure.
But I feel like everybody has a different answer to that. I don't want to lead the witness or anything.
So you're telling me that the newest version of Call of Duty that just came out this year is nothing's wrong with it, but there's nothing wrong with it. Okay. Yeah. So, what is wrong with AAA games? That is an excellent question, because yes, we did have a ton of amazing AAA games this year. That goes without saying. But I mean, do you want to take this one first, Kel, or you want me to get it?
So, I think we've had an amazing year, right?
Right.
Like he said. I mean, honestly, the amount of games that we had this year is insane. The amount of AAA quality games that we had this year was insane. That's addicting, man. Like,
I've been sitting here playing with it.
You want to, like, pull the trigger so bad, don't you?
I'm just sitting here, playing with the spring. My ADHD just kicking in. Yep. Also, Retro Hangover is the podcast.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's been an amazing year, right? I think what really brings down these AAA high quality budget games, it's the fact that it's just that. It's AAA high budget games, and so they're so expensive to make, right?
Right.
And so that causes this rabbit hole of, you're making these big budget titles. These games have to have X amount of budget. I mean, I think about GTA 6 and how insane that budget is.
But how long we have to wait for that thing, right? We're going to wait so long for it.
And that's what I mean. It causes all these things to happen, right? Where these games are taking much longer than what we've been experiencing in the past, right? Not only that, but you can't miss in 2023. In 2024. If your game just doesn't perform well, and it's a AAA budget title, more than likely your studio is closing down, because you invested so much money, so much time, so much manpower, that now you underperformed, and now there's no money to support your staff, to support your team. And so what we've seen this year more than ever, right, is the layoffs that's caused so many people to lose their jobs. And maybe not necessarily due to the fact that their games sell poorly, but it does make you wonder, like, do we need AAA games to be this expensive? Do we need these over-budget games to, like, really sell these titles? Or can we have these nice smaller titles, these indie titles that we enjoy for the most part, and enjoy that, right? Like, don't get me wrong, I love Sony, I love PlayStation, I love gaming in general, but Sony PlayStation is my go-to just simply because they have these AAA budget story-driven titles that I gravitate towards, right?
Right.
I would hate for them to, like, cut their cost and create more smaller, low-budget titles that, you know, they're not on the scale of what they have now, right? I love Spider-Man 2. I love God of War. I would love that, right? But there has to be a way to, like, minimize the amount that is spent to not cause this just exaggerated amount of money being used in video games that they don't really recuperate the amount of money that they need. Like, that's why Sony, for example, is going in this whole game as a service kind of route, simply because they want that income more, because their first party titles, they sell, but
it's not like an evergreen type of thing. I'm going into this rabbit hole, but basically what I'm trying to say is I feel like it being so expensive is causing an issue, and I feel like it's going to cause a greater issue down the line.
Right.
Let me ask you guys a question.
Okay.
When I say what's wrong with AAA, would you consider Nintendo titles AAA?
100%.
Yeah, they are.
Really? Some double A, some triple A, others.
Okay.
It depends. It depends what they do.
I'll throw a couple of ones at you. So, Tears of Kingdom.
I feel like the double A team was working on it.
Okay. Breath of the Wild.
So, hang on. So, your question was what exactly? Are these titles considered triple A, or is
do you consider these titles triple A?
Yeah.
Only because you said Nintendo. Nintendo is AAA in a sense, right?
I wouldn't say Pikmin 4.
No, I wouldn't consider
Mario Wonder. Would you consider that AAA?
No.
Anything Mario related, I think is AAA.
You think so? Even if it's
it's like the side scrollers, I feel like it has the name to back it up, right? Pikmin is Metroid, right? That's hard sometimes because, like,
I'd say Metroid's a double A though, because it's not you just have to, at the end of the day, it's not the big hitter, you know.
Metroid Prime 4, when that comes out, that's gonna, is that triple A or is that
it's double A. I mean,
that would be double A.
I don't know, man. I think it's similar to me, at least, how Zelda after Breath of the Wild, it became, I mean, I feel like it just became a wider success than what it normally was. It didn't sell gangbusters until Breath of the Wild, right? It sold well, but not like amounts.
No, at all.
And so, to me, prior to Breath of the Wild, I would consider Zelda like a double A like title, right? Now it's like triple A, 100%. And I feel like that's the path that Metroid is going. Like Metroid Prime 4, if it goes well, it's gonna sell a lot, and it's gonna be like high budget triple A, in my opinion.
So when we say triple A, right, when we look back at the N64, PS2, PlayStation eras, right, was Ocarina of Time, was Majora's Mask, were those considered triple A at the time?
Yeah, I would say so, yes.
Okay, but then now we get into this generation and they're not triple A. Is it due to the budget that's being poured into the game that's making it AAA, or is it the fidelity of the graphics? Like, what defines a game as considered AAA game?
I think it's the budget, really. I mean, you know, some people think the graphics matter. I am not one of those people.
No.
Period.
No.
Yeah. Because, like, Undertale's probably one of my favorite games, and it looks like a 4-year-old drew it.
Yep.
But that's also part of the charm, in my opinion.
Exactly. Yeah.
So like, I think we get... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, like, graphics don't matter, but artistic direction does, is the way I've always said it. So I would say that, you know, in your AAA game, no, it doesn't really have to be pretty, but the artistic direction has to be on point.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Gotcha. So, like, basically every nominee for Game of the Year this past year, sans... Tears of the Kingdom, right? Because you said it's more of a double A in your opinion. We're all triple A games. So Resident Evil 4 Remake, triple A?
Capcom's a double A studio nowadays, aren't they? They used to be a triple A studio. Or you could say that at one time, but I'd say nowadays they're more of a double A.
Okay.
I also think it depends on what the studio creates. Like, there's a lot of factors of what defines a triple A and a double A, right? Like, Capcom would be a good example of a double A studio. But I think like a first party, it's mostly exclusive, would be a good notion of like a AAA. So like Halo, for example, behind me,
right?
Because that's Microsoft first party, right? That's going to be AAA studio budgeting. But Bethesda, prior to its acquisition, I would call that a AA studio.
Okay. So the lines are now become more, I feel like nowadays they've become a lot more blurred.
Right? Yeah, I feel like I'm drawing such semantic lines in answering your question.
No, but that's what, when you ask what's wrong with AAA, I'm like, what's defined as a AAA, right? Like, what is the definition of a AAA game? And if I look at, if we think of like these big sprawling games defined as a AAA, then I would say for me, then it's probably a lot of bloat, right? AAA games tend to be lean more towards the open world, right? But a game that does it very well, Baldur's Gate 3, right? We know that game does it very well, right? And Sony's very good at this because they like to do more of a linear slash like close you off a little bit, but not give you so much of the open world. You know, you got the God of Wars, you have the Spider-Man 2s, right? So they kind of go halfsies on the open world thing. But this is the problem Ubisoft is having with their newer titles. It's just, you play a Far Cry, play Assassin's Creed, it's just everywhere, right? Just do all this. And you're just like, no.
Yeah. So like you made a great point with Baldur's Gate 3, right? They're considered an indie developer, right? But would you consider Baldur's Gate 3 a AAA title?
No.
Okay.
But I think part of my argument for that is, you know, going back to the studios, right? Which again goes back to budget when you know dig a little further. Like, I think that's what defines it. Like, I wouldn't call, again, the Toby Fox who made Undertale. That's a tremendous game. That's not a AAA developer, is it?
Right.
Yeah. Or what's his name? Lucas Pope made Papers, Please and Return of the Obra Dinn. Phenomenal games. Are those AAA? Well, the answer is no.
No.
Even though there is more than one person working on it, him and his wife do the development.
Right.
Or I can't think of the team behind. What's the game where you play as the It's like isometric, plays the alcoholic cop.
You're not talking about Disco Elysium, right?
Yes.
You are talking about Disco Elysium, okay.
Yeah, but you call that AAA.
No.
Again, I think it goes back to, like, you know, how you look at the studios and who's producing it. Like, I think Nintendo's capable of, like, AAA and AA.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. I would agree with you in a sense that, like, a Metroid Prime 4 would be more considered AAA, and right. Metroid Dread is a AA.
Yeah, but, right. I get that. Yeah, that's fair.
Right. So, yeah, I just wanted to, like, get a sense of what actually a AAA is before I was, like, completely answering that question. That's all we went through the whole rabbit hole. Like, what's a AAA? Is this game? So, for me, AAA, I think the biggest problem is, like, just don't have bloat in your game. If you're going to have a AAA game, don't have the bloat, and just focus on the story or focus on the gameplay. That's it.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Guys, I hate to tell you this.
What?
We're out of questions.
Aww.
This is so very sad, I know. But this is the fun part of Between Two Pods, where the AMA is flipped. Is there anything you'd like to ask me?
Yes. Aha. I guess I'll start. One of my questions earlier was, who would you like on your podcast? Who would you, if you had a favorite, if you had a you know, number one person that you would want, or you know, group or somebody, who would be it?
It would be Yahtzee Croshaw, the guy who did zero punctuation for all those years, and now he's doing Fully Rambolic.
Okay.
Okay. Before the meltdown at the Escapist magazine.
Oh. Okay.
He's been reviewing games once a week for 16 years.
Oh my God.
You know.
Interesting.
Wild. Good for him.
He writes books, makes his own games. You know, you talk about meeting somebody who would not only as the game developer side, as the reviewer, as a writer.
Mm-hmm.
All of, you know, that. That's what I would love to, just to pick his brain for like an hour,
yeah,
in the style. That'd be
aces.
Would be fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to ask. I forgot what I was going to ask. I just had it. I literally had it, and then it just completely went away. Why did you start this podcast in a sense? Like, I know you guys, like, do a lot, right? But what was kind of like the defining thing where it's like, all right,
For Game Club or
for Game Club?
For Game Club. So the start of Game Club was Joey, one of the co-hosts. He used to watch me and his brother Tim stream a bunch and would, you know, be in our streams talking about games and things like that. I mean, I was a Twitch affiliate for a while, so was Tim. Tim did a lot of speedrunning. I think at one point he was like number 12 in England for speedrunning Mario Odyssey. If you didn't know, you could beat that game in an hour. by the way. If you
I believe it.
That.
I believe it, dude.
Yeah, they so did freaking crazy do things you could do now.
Yeah, it's really. And he got like number one for a little while in Untitled Goose Game.
That's hilarious. That's actually
it was like,
ridiculous.
It was like 3 minutes and something to beat it.
I've never played that game. I've always wanted to.
Yeah. So, but you know, he, Tim, and I were have been friends for a long time. You know, and Joey wanted to do something, and then he mentioned me one day. Said, "Hey, how would you like to try a podcast?" I'm like, "You know, I'd do a few episodes, see how it goes." And well, we're on year three now, and just released episode 69 at the time of this recording. So you know, that's. That's really
hey.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, you're like, come on, give it to us.
That's it. Don't, no more. Don't post anymore.
That's it. You're done. You peaked right there.
So you know that's what started it, and then you know the indie podcasting community is just so welcoming and friendly, and you know helping others get their start and get rolling, and which we did. We made a lot of friends, and then you know we started sprawling off into other shows like this one and Two Blokes from Flighty, and yeah, it's just been a lot of fun.
So how do you keep up with all the content that you guys do? Because at least for me, that's one of the hardest things. Like I have so many ideas and I you know, I pitch it to Rob and we're like, we should do this. Oh, what about this? But there's just not enough time. You know, there's just we have a hard time of just trying to get together and building this foundation of all the content that we want to create. And so you guys have tons of days. So how do you guys do that? I mean, I know you're what, three-man squad, but like how do you right. do
it? So it is just the three of us doing this. We all take part in editing. That's a big part, right?
Okay.
So all three of us do edit. So like and we rotate who's doing what episode, right? So like, let's say it's the three of us. Rob picks the game, Rob hosts that episode, Rob will edit that episode. And you know, and it rotates between the three of us. That's what makes editing a breeze, so one of us isn't burdened with it. And since all three of us know how, if somebody's like, "Hey, I'm behind," you can pick up on that. We recently started using a website called Notion, and Notion is like a big old whiteboard of like a thing to use. It's good to keep up ideas and organize. It's I see Rob just opened it. It's got a day mode. It's very bright, but
Rob is it's so funny when someone mentions something, I don't even look anymore because I know Rob is already on it, and I'm like, yeah, he's gonna send it to me or something.
we use Notion. Yep. It's a big part of our scheduling and like organization. Like we literally have a part that's just like a bunch of blocks, and it's just like episodes to be done. You know, is it edited? Have we recorded it? When's the deadline? You know, things like that. I also feel like I push the guys a lot for certain things, but I've been doing engineering and like construction, not management, but quality control management for like 10 years. Mm. So that part also shows up a lot. And sometimes I have to apologize. I'm like, yeah, I know y'all are not my employees and I'm pushing you at the moment. Sorry, but we have to get this done.
Yep.
I gotta quit playing with this. I really do.
I need to get that thing. I'm like jealous that you get to like you're like clicking. I'm just like, I want to do that. It's funny. Good catch on being able to see exactly what website I was on because the brightness. You were like, you're on it right now, aren't you? Just like, yeah. You're good.
Yeah. Well, it's blindingly white. You know, yeah. I always say one day when I'm dictator, every website night mode immediately.
1000%.
No day mode. You know what I mean?
Who likes that? No one likes that. There's
psychopaths.
I saw somebody bring up the fact that it's like, well, books are white paper with black text, and someone's like, why don't we do it the other way around? Black paper and white text would be easier to read.
This guy's onto something.
Yeah. 100%. Be easy on the eyes. You know, just
yeah.
I have a Kindle, and.
Yeah.
That's not bad. It's definitely not the same as a book. Like they tried their best to like make it, but like it's not the same. It's not the same as a book, man. It's just not the same.
Yeah. That's interesting though. I like that you guys have
tools.
You have a dedicated place. You have a tool that
we also have like a Google Drive, and it's just a spreadsheet. And it's got the days to be released, and it's got just the everything we need to play for that year. So, like right now, I'm 5 games ahead for next year. So I can actually like sit around and play what I want to, which is really nice.
See, and that's another thing, dude. Like going back to like the games that we've played, it's so hard. It's so hard to like get into the groove of playing something. And yeah, not only that, but just to keep up with this, like this year alone was insane, right? For us to keep up with every single title that came out, that right. was a chore. That was a challenge, in my opinion.
I think that's like a big advantage we have over other podcasts is that we just kind of pick whatever we want to. So, like this year, I got the guy, you know, we play 26 games in a year. I got the guys to play Half-Life 2 for the first time.
I played Half-Life for the first time, I think, like a month ago. I picked it up. They have it on, Steam for free. Yeah. But it's, I played the like OG version, and they say, like, if you've never played it before, play the, I think it's Black Mesa. They
yeah, say, so you're thinking of Half-Life 1, but yeah.
Yeah, I've never played any Half-Life. That was the first time I ever played a Half-Life game, and I'm like, I don't know if I got it, like, as far as, like, people say this game is so good, but, like, am I past the point now where I'm like, this is, just feels antiquated and old?
Yeah, it's gonna feel antiquated and old because how many things used it, essentially, for to make better things later on.
Okay. So
it's kind of like, just like a really big building block, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Okay.
That makes especially sense. For like narrative and a silent like protagonist narrative. And the other thing that was really big at the time, and it's a tech innovation, is that there's no cutscenes in the entire game. You are able to walk around and move around during the cutscenes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole time. And you know, like in the nine or early 2000s when Half-Life 1 came out, that was like wild.
Okay, so I definitely missed the boat on it as far as like the hype train, and I wish I was there for it, but but I could see a little bit. I'm like, okay, I could kind of see why people like this game. Like,
so like Black Mesa is a 100% faithful like remake,
okay,
of the game, backed by Valve. They sponsored making it, and it's 1-for-1 remake.
So I might go that route and. Do that one instead, because
yeah, I would play, if it's your first time playing like the first Half-Life, I would tell you play Black Mesa. I would say forego the original one.
Okay, a little easier on the eyes, right?
Yeah, a lot easier on the eyes. No day mode, right?
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Question for you: mm-hmm. If you had something that you would change on your podcast,
ooh,
whether it be content or whether it be just the way you kind of do things within your podcast, would there be anything? What would it be? Like, would there be something that you can change or want to change?
Nothing. I'm really happy with the content that we're putting out is the big thing. If I would change anything, and this is going to be a little dig at one of my co-hosts, Joey has a soundboard and he likes to make jingles. If I could put an end to that, that'd be great.
That's fair. If it's overused, I can see that being.
He does it only because he knows that like it annoys me is the whole thing. Yeah. So
that's.
I have a question for you, and this is. So you do a podcast, obviously. We all do podcasts here, but when you look for a new podcast to listen to. Right. Say you didn't do the podcast. Say you didn't, yes. never did it. What is something you look for when you're tuning in or trying to find a gaming podcast? Say you never did this podcast. What would be something that, like, what information or what type of style would you like in a podcast? What you would look for?
One of the first things I always look for is, like, is it, you know, like, when I was going through y'all's back catalog, because I do go listen before, you know, I have guests on, is it a game that I'm interested in? Is the subject relevant? Is, like, the very first thing I'm looking at. I always take recommendations when other people say, hey, listen to this, listen to that. You know, I always try to go find a shot. The other one, and this is a big one if you want to get into podcasting, buy a good microphone.
Yeah.
Please and thank you.
Yep. Yep. Or else you're gonna sound like this, and it doesn't sound very good. And it's like, you don't want that.
Yeah, yeah. Or you get the, all like the little, you know, in the background. You don't want that. That's like the biggest turn off to a podcast. So like relevance to what I'm, you know, wanting to know about or hear somebody's opinion. But then second thing is audio quality.
For sure. Now, like, as far as the titles go, right, you look specifically at the titles and you're saying, like, okay, this person is talking about Half-Life 1. They're going to say why you should play Black Mesa instead of Half-Life. what well, the like context.
If I saw, like if I saw, you know, Black Mesa, the gaming duo, you know, the two, that'd be the two tag words. The rest of the title, you know, I'll kind of glaze over because I know we all have to use tag words.
And right.
And, you know, and because I guess I'm just too aware of that, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It I'm sucks. Just looking for the, I'm glazing and looking for the keywords that are actually important.
And that's what sucks is like when you start a podcast, you're so like hypercritical or you like know what to look for and you're just, and you kind of lose that. You lose like the like, I'm naive and I don't know anything, like what I'm really looking for. But now you're like super, super like honed in on like, what are they doing? What is there? Like you're just over, what's the word I'm looking for?
Overthinking.
Yeah, over, you overthink it. Like it's just like crazy. So it's always nice.
Or you look at somebody's and then you go like, oh, you know, oh, they had the Elder Trolls on. I like them. That's the other, I'd say that's the other key thing, is your guesting connections. I think that really helps and improves things.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like, the networking is huge because, like, just because of, like, a normal, you know, Sally or whatever, Jimmy's, like, not listening to your podcast, right?
Right.
The people that you meet along the way, they're going to listen to your podcast and they're going to become your fans. And that's what it is. Like, I'm rooting for all those guys we mentioned earlier today. I want them to succeed. What happens? I tune into them. So now we are listeners in a sense, right? So it's not like necessarily they're just your friend. They're the listeners. So,
right. You know, that's one of the reasons I really like doing this, like the interview, is because, again, I hope that, you know, y'all's listeners go, oh, Game Club Pod, and see this and go, oh, yeah, I love these guys, you know, and then they listen. I'm like, yeah, Slate seems pretty cool. And then they go and listen to another episode of ours.
It's usually, yeah, that's usually how it goes.
We actually, for the longest, we would bring a guest in and we would have a dedicated section simply about them, right? And we would just kind of talk about, all right, so tell us, how did you get into this? What made you start doing, you know, content creation or podcasting or, you know, whatever? Why did you write this book? Like, it was part of our in-game chat, which is a segment that we have on our podcast. And I thought it was great. I think it's something that would give detail, like a detailed description of who we had on the podcast. And you just learn so much about them, you know. And if they like that person, right, if the listener is like, oh, this guy seems really cool, I can relate to this person, like, that would hopefully get them to follow them in some way, whatever content or, you know, whatever they do, right? So I think that's pretty cool that you know, kind of do this similar thing. So.
Right. And the other thing that's nice about this is that I don't have to make y'all play a game.
Yeah.
We just
talk about games.
Everybody like just takes a big sigh of relief with that. I mentioned that they're like, yeah, that is great.
Yeah.
We're all busy, you know, playing stuff for our own podcasts.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
I was about to say, it's great to know that, oh man, I don't have to do 20 extra hours on top of like my daily life.
Right. Yeah. We have yet to be in a podcast that required us to play a video game. I guess when we were in Elder Trolls, we had to play, what's that game?
Oh, 7 days. No, 7 days to Die. Oh my gosh, such a bad game. Oh, you were like a monster. Daisy something? I forget. It was some
was
stupid.
It DayZ?
No, it wasn't DayZ. It was like some, it was something Days.
Oh, Evolve? Days
three
Gone?
Days, no. 3 days to die or something.
Yeah, there was some game we played and it was just,
it was the guys that made Left 4 Dead. I forget the name of it.
Oh, it's Blood. Something Blood. Back for Blood.
Back for Blood.
Yeah. We played that game, and that one game was not. It was a fun time, don't get me wrong, but am I ever going to play that game ever again?
No.
Nope.
No. But, yeah, we had another segment, right, Rob, when we were back in, we were Project Tech Gaming, where we would review a game, right, and we would play that game until we were just like, all right, I got it, right, and we would just review it, and that was hell.
No,
honestly, no. That was just too much. And talk about not having enough time, right? We would cram in X amount of hours to try to get this game, try to understand what this game was, try to really hone in our thoughts,
stream
to it. Then talk about it. We streamed it on top of that to then talk about it on the podcast. That was a lot. That was too much, and we got away with that real quick. So yeah. Mm-hmm. So thank you for not making us play a game.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you for not making us play homework. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and that's when you start getting the more scheduling and things like that. And like, have you beaten it? Have you played it enough to even talk about it?
For sure, for sure. Do you have a favorite video game? Like, what's your favorite?
It's definitely on that wall somewhere. It's got to be on that wall somewhere.
It's not.
I don't think
wall,
so.
Actually. It's Dark Souls 3. Yeah. I think it's Dark Souls 3, right?
I think you mentioned it several times, so maybe
it's not Dark Souls 3. It is Half-Life 2. Is always my go-to answer.
Oh, okay, that's fair. I'm sorry, I haven't played that game. Sorry.
Well, play it.
Play it. Just play it.
Yeah. I mean, when's the last time you played like an 8-hour first-person shooter campaign?
That is very true. You got stills.
I'll go play the new Modern Warfare 3. That's 3 hours. Oh, sorry. It's half the time of the game that's like 15 years old. All right.
No. It's Half-Life 2. Because I always say, you know, it's just whichever one comes to mind first is the way I always like to rule it. And that's always the one that pops into my head first.
Yeah. Kind of what made you say
I do game. Appreciate short titles now, right? We've talked about this in length now, Rob. But the way the industry is going now, bigger isn't always better, right? And so, again, going back to the whole budget scale thing and making sure, oh, this game needs to be open world, this game needs to have 50 plus hours to like have for it to sell or something, right? No, that is not the case. Please don't do that. Please don't make every single game open world. I'm looking at Zelda. I know everyone loves it. I know everyone loves Tears of the Kingdom. I think if they go back to a smaller scale, I would be totally down for
that. Listen, I'm gonna just say this. With Zelda, you can pretty much beat that game whenever you want, for the most part. The way they do it is you don't have to do everything if you don't want. You can blow through the story and you'll still get a good experience. So I don't know. I think you should take Zelda out of that one. I think Zelda is just like...
I would call Tears of the Kingdom a little bloated myself.
You don't think it's bloated?
It's got too much.
It has so much stuff.
It has just enough, guys. It's too much.
We're
talking to the guy that literally... I don't think I spoke to him for like 3 days.
I put over 100 hours in the first month it came out. I was a straight crackhead with it.
I made it a 3-day weekend. When it came out, I took off work. I was up at midnight, pot of coffee.
Yep.
You know, I was one of those, but I'd just rather play Breath of the Wild again, to be honest.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. That is fair. It's a little.
What I wonder, and maybe you'll have some thoughts on this, Rob. Do you think, let's say, like 20 years from now?
God, I'll be 50.
Tears of the Kingdom is going to be held in the respect that like Majora's Mask is, like the cult hit. People say it's better than Ocarina of Time, so in this case, it would be better than Breath of the Wild. Do you think it's going to have that in 20 years? Do you think it's going to have that cult hit like hitness to it?
Possibly, just because there is just so much more you can do in Tears, and there's just you have the up and the down. But the thing that's different about it, literally
that's
what it
called.
Is.
Yeah. Okay.
And Majora's Mask though introduced you to like a completely. It was just so like sinister and dark. Right. It was a very different theme where Tears isn't as much as of a different theme. It's kind of like the same theme. You just have different powers and it. I don't think so. I'm gonna be honest. I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah. I'm about to say, when in like, you know, 20 years when we're all 50, just whatever social media platform, because Twitter will probably still be around. Just send me a message being like, damn, you were right. And,
yeah, for sure.
We'll do it. Yeah, we'll do it. 100%.
I think it will be. I don't know, man. The way we talk about Breath of the Wild and Tears, I'll just add them all together because it's just one major title, basically. The way we talk about that is similar to Majora's Mask or something. You know what I mean? Like, I think because of this year, of how crazy video games were and how many titles we had, Tears wasn't talked about enough because there were just so many other titles to talk about.
Right.
Baldur's Gate 3 just came out of left field, right? And so, but 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now, people are still going to be talking about this title, right? Because of just how it changed the franchise. Like, Zelda, like Breath of the Wild literally changed what the formula, the DNA of what Zelda is, in a sense, the open world scale of it, right? The way that you're able to navigate through the world and just do whatever the fuck you want.
I think that takes it back to like the first Zelda, like, you know, the very that's really what it does. Mm-hmm. And like in the first Zelda, you just, here's the world.
Yep. Have just fun. Go explore. Yeah. But this does it tenfold, I feel like, right? Is it revolutionary? No. But
it's got the benefit of modern hardware.
Yeah, that's what makes it so crazy, because you're like, oh my god, I can see the mountain, it looks realistic, kind of.
Yeah, you're not looking at it on, you know, a top-down perspective and everything.
Yeah, literally someone drew it on paper at that, you know.
You know, you're not a kid where you can take graph paper and, like, you know, draw out the map back to it. You know, you can't do that. It's too big.
For sure.
All right. Any other questions for me?
I think we're good. I think I'm good.
Yeah, man.
All right. One more time. Can you tell everybody where they can find you on the internet and about your show?
Kelvin?
Yeah, man. We are the Gaming Duo podcast. The Gaming Duo, we discuss the latest gaming news. We give you guys, the gamers, the up-to-date news on the heated discussions about the gaming industry. You can find us on all social platforms, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube as well. And you can find us every week on your favorite podcast service on Fridays at 7 a.m. Eastern Time. And you can definitely find us on YouTube as well. We'll be posting our video formats Wednesdays, hopefully, sometimes we don't. But for the most part, we're there. And so, yeah, you can catch us for the most part anywhere on social.
All right. Very cool. Guys, thank you so much again for coming on. This has been an absolute blast.
Slate, thank you, man. This was great. And thank you for just being so cool. Like, dude, this was a cool. So for full disclosure, we had no idea what was happening here, right? Like, I came in fully blind, not expecting, like, you know, having this like conversation. And I thought it was a blast. So thank you.
You know, that's lovely to hear. This is nothing without the guests.
Yeah, I do want to appreciate, you know, having this platform to talk about the things we love to talk about, and that's video games. And you made it in a way where it's very, very inviting. And I felt like we were all just kind of hanging around in your room there. And I'm sitting on a chair drinking a Shiner Bock and shooting that gun that I want, you know, the little cap gun.
I'll send y'all the Amazon link if you want.
You should definitely send it to us. I'm going to get one.
But then my son, I don't know, man. It might be dangerous for my son. So
just do it. Just keep it down there. Don't, you know.
That's fair.
You know, you said you needed a way to protect yourself. You know,
you're right.
I'm just saying.
Are you ever nervous that you're going to shoot that thing? And it's going to be pointing at your screen or ricochet somewhere and shoot your computer screen? Are you ever afraid of that?
Have you tried shooting it at yourself to see how hard it is? That's what I would do. I would do something.
I feel like it'd be pretty hard.
Let's hear.
Oh, he's going to try it.
Yeah. And we're still recording, so either they're going to hear me, like, say fuck or something else.
You're actually going to shoot your screen? Oh, okay.
Oh, I thought you were going to do your head.
No, I'm not.
No, we're not going to do his head.
No.
That's what I would have done. I was like, all right, let's try it.
All right, here we go. Ah, we're good. Okay, you're fine.
It's not, but I also have like rough hands, like construction work, you know, not work gloves.
It didn't sting or anything. Yeah, it seemed like it's not going to be.
I shot. It looks like in the palm. Just it did make it across the room. So
yeah, that's cool.
I don't think they would sell it on Amazon and like that easily if it was like dangerous. You know what I mean?
Like. Well, my thing is, my first thought was, how do I put a bigger spring in this when I was looking at it, to be honest with you?
How do I make this thing go through the wall?
I'm sure Slade's not sponsored or anything.
No, but CapGut, if you'd like to.
Yeah, right.
Like, the first thing I'm looking at, like, I don't know if this shows up on camera, but that's just like a little pin spring.
That's all it is. It's just a little... But it's more, it's the noise it makes.
Can you click it without having anything in there? Yeah, right? I'm sure you can.
Yeah, that's what he's been doing. He's literally been doing
it. Well, I've been doing like...
Oh, like that. Okay.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, then, you know, you get the full, like...
There it is. Ooh. There it is. That was so nice. Ooh.
That was satisfying.
MSR, here we go.
There we go. Hope everybody enjoyed that.
This is an audio podcast, so...
Yeah. Hope you enjoyed that in your ear holes. All right. Well, everybody, we'll see you in the next episode. I didn't realize it was pulled back, to be honest. All right. Bye, guys.
See ya.
See ya.